I guess I will. So, this is the very first ever episode of Literally Can't Even. I guess Literally Can't Even.
Whoa.
So, I'm Lily.
I am Brendan.
And we like reading books and talking about them.
Occasionally.
I often, when I read a book, which is less than I want to, I always want someone to talk about it with. So this is a good way to always make sure someone has to listen to me talk about the book that I read.
Yes.
And so for our very first podcast ever, we read the lovely Midnight Sun, which is a companion novel to Twilight.
Yeah, like a retelling.
Yeah.
Or,
Right. It's not a prequel. It's its own thing. It's fun.
So, you know what's so funny? She literally did, and I found this out, like, while reading Midnight Sun.
Mm-hmm.
She literally did a gender-bent version of Twilight, like,
you
5 years
You didn't know
ago.
That?
I had no idea. Like, I saw the life... Is it Life After Death? Life
mm-hmm.
and Death?
Mm-hmm.
I saw the cover when it came out, but I had no idea what it was.
And then, I, like, heard about it, and at the time, I think I did want to read it. And I was explaining it to Zeke, who is my husband, and he was like, it's what? And I was like trying to like make it make sense. And it was very clear to him that it did not make sense. And then I was like, it really doesn't make sense, does it? I probably should not read that. And so I just never did.
Well, I heard it's like very copy and paste.
Oh, yes.
Like basically just like Twilight and then select all of the Bellas and change it to whatever name she chose.
Was Beaufort.
What?
I know. I was like, that's egregious enough for me to never read it. Yeah. So I guess I did want to ask what your experience with the original Twilight series was. Like, when did you first experience it?
So I was definitely like growing up in the Twilight era.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I was a little too late for Harry Potter. So I never hopped on Harry Potter, but like, The Hunger Games, Twilight, and Divergent were, like, my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
But I never read Twilight. I just saw the movies, and they have so much nostalgia. But, like, 2 years ago, I ended up reading the 5 books that were already out. The 4 in the series, and then the Brie Tanner one.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were, like, very okay. Like, they're definitely overwritten. But I don't know. I just think they're, like, fun books.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely prefer the movies, though.
Yeah.
What about you?
So, I'm just a little bit older than you. so, I was 13 when the movie was, like, just about to come out. So, like, there had been all the hype. Like, the Twilight books had already been super popular, and the movie was, like, coming out. And we actually had a close family friend who I kind of grew up with. Like, I kind of think of her as my older sister. She was living with us at the time. She was like 18 or 19, and she had been into the books, and I had expressed interest in the movie, and she was like, you have to read the books before I'm going to take you to see this movie. And so I read them all. I like devoured them, you know, in the way that only a 13-year-old girl can. And I just thought that they were amazing. I was like so invested. She totally had me. Like, I was all in on Twilight. And then we saw the movie, and it was like, haha, that's not in the book, like, kind of stuff. Like, wow, that was so stupid. The book is so much better, like, that whole thing. And then after that, like, I feel like after the movies came out is when it really was like the love to hate Twilight phase. So I sort of jumped on that bandwagon for a while. And then I just didn't think about it a ton. I feel like I've talked to you about Twilight quite a few times. The friend that we met through Ashley and I have watched the movies together, you know, kind of just to like have fun. You know, they're a little bit ridiculous. I will say that I like genuinely enjoy the last two, like, as ridiculous as they are.
I love Breaking Dawn.
They're fun.
Like, part one and part two, they're just incredible.
Right. They're much more like fantasy heavy, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like instead of making vampires seem as real as possible, they like lean into fantasy.
What's like your favorite out of the five? Like your favorite movie?
Probably the last one. Probably Breaking Tongue Part 2. Yeah. I love a happy ending. There was the whole like vision sequence that was ridiculous.
Okay, spoilers for Breaking Dawn, just for like the next 10 seconds. I was so mad that that wasn't in the book.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I was like so disappointed because I was just waiting for it because I saw the movie before the book. Mm-hmm. I was just waiting and waiting and waiting, and then the book ended.
Right. I was the opposite because I obviously read the book like way, way, way before Breaking Dawn Part 2 came out, and I watched it with horror. I was just like, are they really going to do this right now? This does not happen in the book. Just like having a full-on aneurysm. Like, I cannot believe that they would do this. And then, you know, they, like, I guess spoilers again, if anyone in the universe who read this book didn't see Breaking Dawn.
Yeah, this is like almost a decade old. Like, right? if you're into Twilight, you're into Twilight.
Exactly. So they like kill Carlisle in that sequence, and I was just like, this is unacceptable. Like, I will walk out right now. And then it was like, oh, just kidding. I was like, you really can't play with people like that. That is not cool.
They had to do a big ending for it though.
Right. Because the book didn't
have that.
Yeah.
I think I liked I liked Eclipse the most. Like, really? The movie Eclipse the most. The thing is, Eclipse is my least favorite book though.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's just like the movie focuses way more on the like cult of vampires in Seattle.
Right. That is true.
Whereas the book, they're like barely mentioned. Mm-hmm. Like a little bit in the beginning, a little at the end, but like nothing in between.
Yeah. I can't even tell you what happens in Eclipse, honestly, at this moment in time, because I feel like I've seen the first movie a bunch of times. New Moon, I hate it. I do not like that movie at all. And then Eclipse is just like, I don't know. And like I said, I like the last two a lot. So I've just, you know, seen like the first and the last two. So I know that Eclipse is like when they get engaged. And that's like also the fallout from what happens in New Moon. Oh my God. Like, I don't even remember, honestly.
Do you remember the scandal when Breaking Dawn Part 1 was coming out? And like they showed the bed scene a little bit? And people were like, oh my God, a YA book is going to have a sex scene.
Oh my God.
It was like huge. Maybe it was because I was like in middle school and like people were like, this is like too like mature for us. Like, we need to not see this movie. And I was like, y'all, they're literally breaking the bed.
Right. That's funny. No, I don't remember that being a big thing. But I mean, there's like a whole, I guess we'll talk about it in a little bit, but like, man, the whole like vibe around like sex is so weird. So weird.
It's really weird. The thing is, like, I didn't really try and think of this whenever I was reading Midnight Sun, but the age gap is a little disturbing.
Right. That is
just a little bit.
That was a sticking point for me. So I guess moving into just like the book, we talked about just a minute ago, like in the future we'll probably do some, you know, semi-comprehensive plot recaps, but at this point I'm assuming that if you wanted to read Midnight Sun, you have read Twilight and you know what happens. So
yeah,
we can just go ahead and do away with that, especially because there is no plot to speak of for the first 400-ish pages. So I think it's
just
fine.
Girl meets a vampire.
Right, or rather vampire meets girl.
Yeah.
Yes, wants to eat girl.
Depending which one you are reading.
Right. So very early on, Edward starts talking about how old he is. Not only how, well, he doesn't state how old he is. He's just like alluding to it, right? But he says like he's been through high school like upteen times, and he's been through medical school twice. That one made me pause because I don't remember him ever mentioning that anywhere else. He's been through medical school and gotten a medical degree twice. And like, I don't care.
I don't remember that ever being mentioned in the other books either.
Right. No, I've never heard of that before. And I guess it makes sense, you know, because Carlisle was a doctor and, you know, Edward like looks up to
him
so much.
Wait, why would he not just date like a college student then?
Right. Right.
Because right. That's like 8 years right there.
That is like, I feel like, you know, because they say like, well, the younger we start out in a place, the longer we can stay there. But I feel like that's not explanation enough. Like, no. At all. And no. If you were, like, mentally mature enough. So, he also tries to make the excuse of, like, well, I'm still 17 in a lot of ways because, you know, that's when I died and I haven't progressed since then. But if you're mentally capable and emotionally capable of going all the way through high school, all the way through college, all the way through medical school to be a doctor and, like, passing all those tests and stuff with no growth or digression, I guess, as a vampire, like as a static being, like you cannot be dating minors, like period. Right.
Well, also, like, didn't he get turned? He was like, what, 18, I think, whenever he got turned, like whenever he was on his deathbed.
I think he says 17, but yeah.
17? Mm-hmm. Okay, but still, like, you're like almost there to like college level, like, almost out of being a minor. It's so weird that they would even, like, consider going back to high school.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, why would you not just... I mean, I guess you have to pay tuition or whatever. But, like, Carlisle is, like, kind of rich. Like, their house is kind of nice. So...
Right.
It's kind of weird that they just wouldn't, like, repeatedly do college
instead. Sure. Right. And then just be like, oh, I have a baby face. Like, haha, whatever. Also, right. Like... You know, Edward was turned in, like, what he says, like, 1919 or 1917, something like that. Yeah. You know, back then, like, you had to grow up a lot faster. Like, a 17-year-old back then would be way more mature than a 17-year-old in 2005.
They were already having, like, babies back. Like, not that 17-year-olds don't have babies nowadays.
Right.
But it was, like, way more normalized back then.
Right.
Like, you would start having, like, full-on families in, like, your early 20s, whereas I feel a lot of people nowadays are waiting until they're, like, almost early 30s.
Right. You know? And you would, like, you would have to, like, help your family. Like, you'd be done with school when you're, like, 14. It's
also, just there, like, were just, like, a lot of wars, and so people had to grow up fast. Because right. They're, like, oh, I could, like, go to another country and, like, die.
Right.
In, like, a month, you know?
I really, like, I always hated when people would criticize fantasy super harshly, like, that could never happen, that wouldn't happen, but I could not get myself out of that headspace when I was reading this.
Well, and see, that's what I have to tell myself with fantasy, is that, like, it's different rules, because there's also, like, another thing with the Shadowhunter series.
Mm-hmm.
I won't, it's not going to spoil anything, but basically in the newer series, there's a girl that's literally falling in love with a dead person. And I'm like, okay, she's falling in love with a ghost, but you know, it's a fantasy series, so I guess that's okay.
Sure.
Like, nowadays, it's like, if it was just grounded in reality, it would be like, okay, so that's like kind of necrophilia.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's definitely weird.
I feel like, you know, I try not to judge, like fantasy, like, not just the genre, but, like, fantasy aspects that mm-hmm. way, you know, but there's so much, like, like, you're in Edward's head, right? So there's so much talk of his, like, emotional, like, mental state that, you know, he thinks he's such a monster, blah, 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 blah. But he obviously very much, like, thinks and feels like a human still, even though he doesn't admit it. And so it just felt like so much of what he said just felt, like, wrong. And the like, justifications or the explanations were just like, that's not enough. Like,
yeah.
You can tell me that, I guess, but I just don't, like, I don't believe
also,
you.
Also, why couldn't he just, like, find another vampire?
Sure,
like, all
right.
His, like, siblings... quotation marks.
Mm-hmm.
All his other siblings had, like, no problem finding mm-hmm. other vampires. It actually happened, like, pretty quickly. All of them were just like, okay, so this is my forever person.
Right. Right.
And obviously he falls in love, like, pretty quickly, so, like, it shouldn't be that hard.
I feel like, I don't know, this isn't really explicitly said, but I feel like the attitude in this book and in all of the books, really, is very much like, there is one person that's right for you, and you will find them when you find them, and nothing else will ever work out or be right until you do. And, I mean, I have, like, thinking...
What if Edward and Bella got, like, divorced after 10 years?
Or, better yet, what if they got divorced after, like, 200 years?
Oh, my God.
That would be really awkward. you ever watch True Blood at all?
I did not.
Oh my gosh. So it is, just super quickly, it's a show about vampires. It's very much like the antithesis of Twilight. Like, vampires are not cute. They are vicious, bloodthirsty. Like, they have no qualms about their, like, monstrosity. Like, the main vampire character, Bill, is kind of like an Edward. You know, he's a little broody. He feels a little bad about his, you know, his way of life, yada yada. But there is a scene later on where there's like a vampire lawyer, like helping vampire legal matters, and I just like got this image of Bella and Edward in like vampire divorce court, like like, I don't know, you would have so much property to shift through, and like it would be such a mess.
God. Wait, do you think, okay, we'll talk, we gotta get to the actual book soon, sure. But, going back to Breaking Dawn, do you think their child is gonna, like, die before them?
I feel like, I'm pretty positive that they say, I feel like they don't say this very explicitly in the movie, but I'm pretty positive that in the book, when they meet, that there's, like, Alice finally finds somebody who's like the baby, like out on her travels. Oh, he's like a halfling, and he says,
I do know what you're talking about.
Aged until he was about, I want to say 15 in the books, because I was like, that's
how convenient.
That's not very old. But apparently he aged up to be about 15 and then stopped growing and had then lived for like 100 years. So it was this great, like, sigh of relief.
I would literally like sue the universe if I had to be, if I just stopped aging at 15.
Right. Oh my God, that would be horrible. I was
like, can we just push it like at least 5 more years? Like, at least get me to my 20s.
Right. Well, except for she's like a half vampire baby, so she'll be perfect in whatever
state. Right. No acne, no anything.
Right. But I remember, like, I remember at the time, I was like, oh my God, that's just perfect. Like,
right.
Wow, that's amazing. But now I'm like, ugh. Like, as if the imprinting thing weren't weird enough. The,
oh my God,
stopping aging at 15 weird to be in a relationship with, like, a 25-year-old werewolf, ew, is, like, too much.
That was
too
so
much.
That, yeah. What went through her mind to add that to the plot?
Right, like some of these things, I'm just like, where did you even think of that? Like,
what? She was literally probably just like one night, like, okay, so I haven't set up any other characters for Jacob to fall in love with. Like, all the other vampires are already in love, in relationships, and now Bella has Edward. They're, like, they're married.
Mm-hmm.
So, what if Jacob wants to screw their child?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Like, light bulb problem in the solved middle of the night. Perfect. I know. The mechanics of the whole, like, half vampire baby have always really bothered me, too. Like,
yeah.
A lot. Just, yeah. Anyway. So.
Okay. So, the first talking point I do have for Midnight Sun, mm-hmm, just, like, overall impressions and, like, our star ratings.
For it. Stars out of 5.
Yeah. Very, very good reads. Mm.
Like, personally, as far as reading it against, like, just any other book that I'd read, I'd have to give it like a 2.5. I was not into it. Like, I could not get into it. It was not interesting. It was not compelling. Like, there's just no plot. It's just like Edward meets this girl, he wants to eat her. But does he want to eat her? Maybe he wants to love her instead for 400 pages. And then, oh no, random vampires. And they want to eat Bella too. Like, it's just, like, it makes no sense. And so, you mentioned just a little bit ago that you really love the books because you feel like they're fun.
Yeah.
And they are. But I cannot help but feel how seriously the author takes herself when she's writing these things.
Well, I think we talked about it, and it does very much, like, at least this book, but I'm sure if we went and reread the other ones, it would feel like this type of writing, but mm-hmm, it's very much like fan fiction.
Right, right, right.
Like, it's not, like, good writing.
Yes.
It's very much, I typed this, like, on my phone.
Right.
You know?
Like,
but I will say, I gave this book 4.5 stars. And You know, okay, so that's up against the other books. Mm-hmm. If I rated this, like, against every other book I've ever read, mm-hmm. I think I would give it more, like, 3.5 to 4.
Sure.
But against all the other books, 4.5. Because I do think it's my new favorite Twilight book. I think it's my favorite out of the 6 I've read now.
Sure. I mean, I feel like against the other books from what I remember, like, it's, you know, good enough. It may as well be the best one. I don't really remember. But in terms of, I mean, I don't think I could ever, like, judging by this, I don't think I could ever go back and reread the other Twilight books. Yeah. Maybe, maybe if we do it here one day, I'll suck it up. But it was just such a struggle. Well, even with
this one, I had to, like, cut to the audiobook. Because mm-hmm. I was like, I can't sit down and just read this for, like, 100 pages. Mm-hmm. Like, I need somebody to just tell me it if I'm going to get through this.
Yes, I also got the, like, my first audiobook ever. I bought this audiobook to read or to read it to me. And I had it on, like, 1.5 speed because the guide talked super slow. And I was just like, come on, let's go, let's go.
I think I'm saying it's my favorite just because the first book was my favorite. Mm-hmm. And I do think this was, like, a more interesting perspective on the first book. Because, you know, with the first book, it's just, like, a girl figures out she's dating a vampire. Mm-hmm. Whereas this one, I feel, had a lot more, like, family drama. Like, some people in the family were, like, Alice was, like, I want to meet her. And then Rosalie was, like, I will kill you if you start dating her.
Right.
And so it just had a lot more family drama. And I feel like, I don't know, having all those different perspectives. And it's definitely a weird, like, situation for a vampire family to be in. Mm-hmm. It just created a more interesting plot line. I will say, Edward's brooding did not help. but I did enjoy, like, the angst a little bit more in this one than the first one.
Yeah. I will
and say, that may just be because I've read them recently, though.
Sure. Yeah, maybe. I was going to say, I feel like even though Bella doesn't reveal fully that she knows, until not super, like, it, you know, not super far into the book, but, like, moderately. It was
pretty late into this one.
Far in. I felt like I remembered it taking longer on her part. Really? And maybe that's just from the movie. There's, like, the dramatic forest scene. But, like,
I know what you are. Say it.
Oh my god, I'm so ridiculous. But yeah, it was just kind of like, you know, she didn't tell him, like, this is what I think, but it seemed pretty early on she was kind of, she, like, had it figured out. She didn't care. And I was like, oh, nice, way to go. But yeah, I remember it taking longer in the other books. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, like, I think it was, like, around, like, page 400 or so in this one. Maybe it's just because this book's a lot longer. Mm-hmm. So, like, we're only, so we're, like, oh, it's, like, 2/3 of the way. Whereas with the first one, it's, like, 400 pages of just, like, them, like, casually talking. And then the last 100 pages is just, like, them, like, finding out he's a vampire and then James almost killing her.
Right.
It all happened so quickly.
They were only officially dating for, like, 2 days. And I was like, what is happening?
Like, Edward, you got all the time in the world.
Right. Like, calm down. Yes. The whole, like, doing things because Alice says it's going to happen was a little bit, like, uncomfortable for me.
Well, and it was brought up so much.
So much. Yeah. She was, like, such a, like, because there was no plot, Alice would just, like, show up and be like, oh, this is going to happen. So I guess this has to happen now. Like,
yeah. Well, and she always was like, so you have 2 options. You're either going to kill Bella or make her a vampire. And he was like, I'm not going to do either. And then obviously we know that she eventually becomes a vampire.
Sure.
So it does come true. But it was kind of just, like, wasted time mm-hmm. whenever he was complaining about that, because, like, we knew as a reader.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like that entire thing could have been cut out from this book.
Yes, and there was so much of it. I found it so very annoying to me how often, like, I get that Edward is, like, the self-loathing vampire and that's, like, the thing. But I was like, oh my god, get over yourself. Also, right. Like, okay, he hates himself so much because of what he is, but he loves his family so much. And that didn't make very much sense to me, because if you hate yourself so much purely because of what you are, how can you not hate all of others of your kind, including the one that made you, and also these other ones who
you
are like...
You think he would have, like, a grudge on Carlisle.
You would. I would. Yes. Like, yeah. For sure.
Like, Rosalie, I'm surprised she doesn't have a grudge on Carlisle, because she spends this entire book being like, don't make her a vampire because I hate being a vampire. Like, stop talking to her.
Right. Right. And also, like, there was so much about everyone's backstory except for Jasper's. Like, I have no idea still what happened. Like... I was actually really surprised
that, like, everybody's backstory, I guess besides Jasper's, was in this book.
Because
I don't remember, like, I'm trying to remember. I read them back to back, so, like, honestly, the four books all blend for me.
Sure.
But their backstories were, like, slowly revealed. Like, you didn't learn about Rosalie's backstory until Eclipse. And right. I remember that because that's the only reason I liked the book was for that, like, one chapter.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, everybody's backstory was in Midnight Sun. And maybe she thought, like, this would be the first Twilight book that some people were picking up.
Maybe.
But I don't really see that as
I find that very
possibility.
I don't think that either. I don't remember ever hearing about Alice's backstory before. I think... maybe this isn't the first one, I just don't remember, but it didn't remind me of ever hearing about Alice. I mean, I guess there's not much backstory because she says she doesn't remember, but right. I had no idea that she didn't remember anything. I thought that was interesting. But yeah, the whole, like, Alice learned her name from seeing Jasper say her name, and then she just knew she had to find Jasper and immediately loved him, and then he could, like, feel that she loved him. It was like a whole, like, that was very
weird.
It was very weird. Right. And then she desperately wants to be friends with Bella because she sees that they're going to be friends, but she's,
oh my god,
know anything about her.
I really hate to say this, but, like, even though Edward was, like, super annoying in this book,
mm-hmm.
even though I love him, I'm definitely team Edward. I do think the most annoying person was Alice
mm-hmm.
in this book. And I think that just because Stephanie Meyer gave her the same 5 lines to say the entire book.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, you're going to kill her, make Bella a vampire, or can I meet her yet? Can we be friends yet?
Yeah. I always, you know what's funny is that they're described as, like, such good friends. They're best friends. They love each other so much. But I feel like in the course of the other books, like, they really don't ever get that close. Like, Alice...
I don't even remember Alice being mentioned that much in the other books.
She basically, like, when Bella and Edward finally, like, get together, Alice is there. And then as Edward is wanting to do stuff with Bella, Bella lets Alice dress her. And then she lets Alice plan their whole wedding. And that's all I remember. She just, like, lets her take care of stuff for her, which is, like, very one-sided. Like, Alice is doing all the work for this friendship.
I guess Alice is just there to do the work that Stephanie Meyer doesn't want to write.
Right, exactly.
You know.
Exactly. The plot, the planning,
right.
All of that. Yeah.
She's just like, it's okay, Alice is going to take care of the wedding. I don't have to write those chapters.
Right.
You don't have to meet with the wedding planner. It's all set up.
So I just have, like, nothing but a random collection of thoughts to talk about, I feel like. But this one thing occurred to me when I was reading this. I had never thought of this before. And it bothers me so much. Okay, so vampires' eyes are red when they drink human blood. And gold when they drink animal blood. Why? All blood is red. Like, what?
Yeah, we don't have something special in our blood, do we?
No, it's the same stuff that makes it red.
Oh my god, that is actually it.
Isn't that? I was reading and I was like, wait a second. Because they mention the red eyes and the golden eyes and blah, 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 blah. Like, and you know, when they're hungry, they're black, right? And then they turn red mm-hmm. if they drink human blood, I assume, just because that space is then filled up with red blood. But it's gold if it's animal blood. Like, what?
The only thing that I could be like, maybe this makes sense, is when they drink human blood, maybe their body accepts it better because their body once had it.
Maybe.
So, like, it goes all throughout their body, whereas animal blood, if we drink animal blood, which, ew, it's just gonna go through our stomach and we're probably just gonna get sick.
Right.
You know? So maybe that, but it is very weird because they're not human.
Right. Also, another random thing that I will mention really quickly. I'm gonna, like, pull this one up in the book. Edward mentions that Carlisle had been trying to do some sort of, like, anatomy studying to figure out how blood is, like, used in the vampire body. And he says, you know, something to the effect of, like, it's ingested and then absorbed through into the muscles, which, like, how? But okay.
Yeah.
And the reason I marked that is because he's talking about this while Bella is crying about something. And he licks a tear off of her face and then says that because his body won't accept it, maybe he'll hold on to it forever and he'll have a piece of her in him always. And I was just like, that is the grossest thing I have ever heard in my entire life. I hate it.
I finished this book like 2 or 3 weeks ago, so I don't even recall that scene. But
I was reading
was this when they were in his office?
Oh man, I just took the little page out of it. No, I don't think so. It was when what happened? Now I'm gonna have to
there was just too much happening in this book.
Oh my god, so much happening.
Like, most of the scenes I would flip the page and I'd just be like, I literally don't remember what just happened.
Oh, I don't know that I can. I think it is before, like, they're just, I don't know, they're just sitting around, she's crying about something. I don't remember why.
That is so weird though.
So weird. I was like, man, that is just...
It's weird that he would say that because tears are literally just water.
Right. So,
like salt water.
You know what's worse is that that's not the first scene that I've read about licking tears off of faces. Like, thank you, Sarah J. Maas. But it was definitely the grossest one.
Okay, wait. Little tangent.
Uh-huh.
Oh my god, this isn't even Sarah J. Maas. Okay, we don't have to talk about this for too long. Have you watched Shadow and Bone?
I haven't.
Okay, you need to watch it.
Okay, so super quick tangent off of your tangent. As you know, I love Six of Crows. Shadow and Bone was not my favorite series, but, like, fine, whatever. I really like Leigh Bardugo. And, you know, Shadow and Bone and Six of Crows are kind of both represented. And so I was super excited when she announced the cast. And Nina, who is my favorite character, is, like, canonically fat.
Nina is, like, barely in it.
Or, like, not skinny, I guess. And the girl that they cast to play her is, like, just a normal-ass girl.
Yeah, she's just, like, a normal body.
And it kind of made me, like, unreasonably upset. Like, not, I don't know, I'll watch it, you know, but I was just kind of like, what the heck, man? Like, again? Why does this always happen?
Yeah, you know, I felt that way with the Love, Simon movie. Because Leah is also, described that way. And the girl from 13 Reasons was cast as her. And, right. Like, she's not fat. Like, no. Whatsoever. She's not plus size.
Not at all.
Yeah. But I think you should watch Shadow and Bone. As someone who, I enjoyed Six of Crows. I did not enjoy Crooked Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But as someone who enjoyed Six of Crows, I do enjoy what they're doing with the characters.
Sure.
And the way Leigh Bardugo kind of explained it was, it's like a fan fiction of Shadow and Bone and Six of Crows. The characters, like, interact it. Like, I don't know if they're following the plot of Shadow and Bone, but she said they pretty much made a new story.
Interesting. From the previews that I could see, it seemed like they were following the, at least in the beginning, the plot.
Maybe it's just the Six of Crows characters, because what's happening with them definitely did not happen in Six of Crows.
Yeah, sure. They don't happen at the same time, I think. I think the, you know, if we're talking like how the books intersect, I'm pretty sure the things that happen in Shadow and Bone happen like several years before Six of Crows.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, they're definitely happening at the same time. So maybe they just want to a bigger cast.
Right. They wanted to include them both, but it would be too expensive. Right.
Right. Sure. Anyway, back to Twilight. I do have Jacob as a point, but then I put LOL because he's, like, not even in this book.
Right, barely. I mean, he's barely in the other ones either, honestly. Like,
right, he's not really a big point until New Moon.
Mm-hmm. I mean, his big thing in Twilight is to tell Bella about the Cold Ones, you know, and he's really not around other than that. Yeah, it was just kind of like, meh. I don't know, for as much as I care or used to care, I was Team Jacob.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't realize anybody was Team Jacob. Just because, okay, I'm not saying there's like, I'm not saying you have to date someone older than you. Okay, but with Bella and Jacob, there's a clear alpha, and that is Bella. Mm-hmm. So just the fact that, like, I don't think she should have to date younger than her.
Sure.
I don't know. And the fact is, like, in your teenage years, 1 year difference is, like, kind of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, like, I don't know. I don't know.
Sure. I mean, it always made me uncomfortable. As opposed to 87 odd years.
Right. I would much rather have Bella date a 300-year-old.
Right. I was so upset with Edward for leaving her in New Moon. Like, he
knew,
and now I know especially from reading this, that he knew full well that it would wreck her. Like, wreck her.
Right.
And apparently it wrecked him, too. So why? Like, I find it, like, there's nothing that I didn't find irritating about this book, but it, I find it so irritating, the self-righteousness that Edward has in this whole, like, I know better and what I want and what she wants doesn't equate to what's best for her. And, you know, I wish that this, you know, things could be this way, but they can't because that wouldn't be the right thing for her. And, like, what do you know? You don't know anything. You're, you know, 100-year-old, 17-year-old. Shut up.
I forgot this happened, but literally the second chapter was him running away. And right. He was like, I'm never coming back. Like, right. I met this girl today, and I'm never coming back.
Goodbye.
I will see you guys never. Like, and I was like, Jacob, or Edward, we are two chapters in. Like, literally 20 pages. Like,
get a hold of yourself. Also, yeah. He runs away, and then he comes back because he can't stay away from her. But also, the nice vampire lady won't stop hitting on him, and she just can't. Right. He just can't. He just can't.
What was her name? Tanya?
Uh-huh.
Is that Tanya?
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, she's the leader of the coven, too. Like, that sounds like a nice older lady who will show you what's what, Edward. That is what you need.
And she's already a vampire. You don't have to worry about that.
You don't have to hate yourself. Right. Okay. And then another thing, the I know what's best, blah, blah, blah. He, like, they don't talk about it a ton until the very, very end about Bella wanting to be turned. But, like, of course she would want to be turned. Like, she wants to be
a person. I remember in her, like, perspective,
mm-hmm.
like, the minute she found out Edward was a vampire, she was like, make me one.
Right.
And I was like, wow, you're really jumping the gun with this.
Yes.
Like, did you even think about it?
She did not. And, like, that's a whole other can of worms. She did not think it through. She is so, like, she disregards her family so much and drives me nuts. But it's not Edward's job to think of that stuff. It's Bella's job to think about stuff. So if she's not going to think about that stuff, it's not Edward's deal. Right. And so he, like, it sucks that becoming a vampire, you know, requires someone else, you know, that you don't have. Like, I guess you sort of have agency because you can just go to other vampires and tell one will do it, you know. But, it, you know, she wants him to be the one to do it. And he just, like, is so flat out no. And it's like, you would rather, like, you have this person who wants to be with you forever, who you say you love more than anybody else has ever loved another person in this entire world, and you are unwilling to do what she is begging you to do. Because
after
why?
After a week of knowing her.
Right, yes, well, true, but... Well, in the end, he ends up, he only ends up turning her because she's going to die anyway.
Right.
Like, wow, foreshadowing.
I kind of get it because he is the youngest in the entire family, like, besides Jasper, who is, like, Is he? Wait, is Edward the youngest?
No, he's the oldest besides Carlisle.
Really? Oh my god. I literally like... I don't understand this.
I mean, as far as like...
age, but I feel he turned, does look up to like Rosalie and Emmett.
Right. As far as age when turned, he might be the youngest. But as far as like last to be turned, it was Carlisle and then Edward and then Esme and then Rosalie. Oh, that's right. Because
Rosalie was turned in like the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But anyway, I think he does look up to Rosalie and Emmett. I don't really feel he looks up to Alice and Jasper whatsoever, because mm-hmm. they're just kind of in their own world. But I think he takes what Rosalie says as, like, the truth. And, you know, she was pushing so hard. And I'm sure, you know, if they retold New Moon and Eclipse and Breaking Dawn, she would just do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Constantly, like, don't turn her.
Like, talk him out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he takes that to heart, so... I don't know. It's just a lot of conflict with Edward.
But he also idolizes, like, Carlisle and Esme so much. And yet, he has the opportunity to have
Carlisle's, like... Carlisle doesn't want him even near Bella much. He's constantly, like, kind of against it.
But he's like, you know, do whatever. But this is what I think. But, I don't know. I got the very, like... I got a very just like, you know, it's your choice. We support you. However, kind of vibe.
Yeah. However.
I found Esme's character like very disappointing, because she was like just there to be like doting mother for some reason.
I don't even remember Esme in this book. Like she was just like in the background the entire time.
just appears out of nowhere every time Edward plays the piano, and she's like, I love you so much. Oh. You are perfect. You have never done anything wrong ever.
Oh my god.
Yes. It was very like, dad is the leader of the household, mom is the quiet, head down, you know, loving, supporting character. Yes.
So what I get from Carlisle's character is he doesn't want anybody to become a vampire unless it's, like, needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's why, like, even though Carlisle was like, okay, so do you really love her? Like, all this stuff. I just think, like, in the back of his mind, he was still like, Edward, like, don't do it. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, don't at least turn her. And then Alice would pop up and be like, but you're gonna eat her then.
Right. If it's going to go one of two ways.
Right.
You've got to figure out which way you want it to be.
Right.
Also, like, the description of Bella was just, like, so silly all the time. Like, if I have to read another person describing Bella as perfectly ordinary ever again. Like, no one is that ordinary. Everyone's face is different. No one has ever been. I feel like we took
an entire page every time Edward just saw Bella. Right. Just to describe what she looked like.
Right. And it didn't change.
Right. I was like, okay, you could tell me anything and I'm still just going to think Kristen Stewart. So, like, we might as well just, like, skip this page.
Every time. Yes. Yeah, I just, like, I found her description so annoying. But then, like, she was so weird. Like, she's so selfless, but also so stubborn. And she hates being taken care of so much. And, like, all honestly, this weird stuff. But then she needs help from a vampire to stay alive, because she can't walk in a straight line.
Okay, but, like, seeing her from a different perspective, because in the original... quartet? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
In the original series, she was my favorite character. Like, I really liked Bella.
Sure.
I do have a soft spot for Rosalie, but I really liked Bella, but seeing her from a perspective, she just annoyed me so much.
Right. The scene where she literally faints when they're kissing, I was just like, oh my god. Like, get a grip.
Oh my god, and the whole prom thing. So dramatic. So oh dramatic. My god.
And she's like, I thought you were gonna turn me. Why? I would hope that you would have a conversation. Like, There should be a consent form. There should be a whole process.
Right.
Like, at because least this is a, your whole life. A conversation. Like, you can't just whisk somebody away and surprise them by...
Also, why would it be a romantic thing? Like, I would want to go to a hospital for that. Like, why are you wearing a dress? Like, you realize when you turn, like, you're in anguish for, like... hours and hours, and you feel like you're dying. Like, you don't want to look cute then.
Right. Edward, like, keeps not talking about it with her because he thinks it'll make her want it. Like, you should sit her down and look her in the eyes and be like, it feels horrible.
Right.
For days on end.
Oh,
like, over explain it.
Oh my god. So another talking point that I do have, it doesn't really pertain to Midnight Sun, but if you could choose, like, Stephanie Meyer to write another book in the Twilight series, because she's gonna.
I'm sure.
Every 5 years, she's gonna. That's kind of what everybody thinks.
Uh-huh.
Because 5 years ago, you know, Life After Death came out.
Mm-hmm.
What would you want her to do?
Oh, man. That is a good... Okay. I honestly, that's a hard one. Okay, so I really like Jacob, right? And my first instinct when you just asked that was to say a book from Jacob's perspective. However, I would like, I don't want Stephanie Meyer to write about the Quileutes anymore ever again, because that is a real tribe that she has nothing to do with, and she's just, like, making shit up all the time, and I can't. So, like, as much as I would love
literally
that.
Literally, people from that tribe have said that people have asked them if they're werewolves.
I know, like, oh my god.
It feels so bad for them. I'm like...
It's horrible.
And, like, people nowadays have no grip on reality.
Mm-hmm.
That they actually think that's real.
I know.
It's a shame.
Bad. So, as much as I would love to be inside his puppy dog mind for a whole book, I couldn't handle that. So, I would be really interested to read a Edward Breaking Dawn. Because it would be so interesting to know what he was thinking about during the whole, like, gross vampire pregnancy situation. And, like, it's described a little bit in the book, I feel like, because I think there is, like, a chapter in his perspective. Maybe there's not. I don't know. But it's described a little bit what everyone's headspace is when they think Bella's dead. And then, like, you know, realizing that she's not, like, the happiness that they must have felt. But I feel like that would all be very interesting. Like, that book very much has a plot. I feel like, you know, it's...
For,
like,
the first half.
Sure. For the first half, yeah. But, like, after all of that stuff is super interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that would be... or maybe an Alice prequel to know, like, her where the heck... Like, how she found Jasper, how she found the family. Like, what did she do
to get to there? Yeah, I think more explanation on that could be nice.
Right, but then it would be BS, and I wouldn't believe any of it anyway, so.
Right. This is not canon, even though you wrote it.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Like, she'd just turn into J.K. Rowling, and we'd be like, no, that didn't happen.
Right. Like, oh, you're not allowed to contribute anymore.
Right, no,
that.
No, it's out of your hands, sorry.
I think, so, as much as I would just like a new book, like, maybe, like, after they're married.
I think the I would one like thing, that, too.
Right. I don't think she's ever going to do that. Mm-hmm. I think where it's ended is where it's ended, so... In terms of, like, another retelling, I just want something from Rosalie's point of view, because she is my favorite character. Like you said with Alice, I would like a Rosalie prequel. Even though we've been told her backstory now, like, 3 times,
mm-hmm.
I would love to hear it again. I would love it in depth. But, honestly, I would take a retelling of the first book in Rosalie's point of view.
Sure. Apparently, it would just all be expletives. If anything, for Midnight Sun is to be believed. Just cursing the whole time.
Or, like, so Cassandra Clare did something like this where she didn't retell a part of the Mortal Instruments, but she, like, added books in between with Alec and Magnus.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, them on just a little vacay, like, to Europe.
Sure.
Like, it was, like, in between, like, the third and fourth or fourth and fifth book of the Mortal Instruments. I would love that for just, like, Rosalie and Emmett. Mm-hmm. That would actually be, like, pretty cute.
Yeah, I'm, like, so very uninterested in Emmett as a character. Like,
I'm really uninterested in him.
Right. But his only, like, quality is strong.
Right.
So, like, whatever, I guess, but...
It's like, sure. He's big. Right. So, like...
Okay.
So be scared of him. Because uh-huh. He's taller than you.
Right.
But I feel like more could be there with him.
Sure, yeah.
I don't even remember his backstory.
He got mauled by a bear. And really? Rosalie found him.
I like how this is something new to me. Read this like 2 weeks ago.
Just pulling from the book. Yeah,
no idea.
He got mauled by a bear and Rosalie came across him. I guess it didn't explain very much, or maybe I'm not remembering. Maybe, I don't know if she smelled him or what happened, but she was like, oh my God, I love his face. He cannot die.
That's what I was about to say. Like, literally, Rosalie found him and said he's hot.
Right? And she was like, oh no, no. So she just, like, held her breath and ran him to Carlisle and
right.
Begged him. And, I mean, begged him. She asked him, like, twice. And Carlisle was like, all right, I guess so.
Oh my God.
Right. You know what else was interesting? I feel like that was mentioned in this book for the first time, was that, like, the transformation could be longer if the venom doesn't, like, get to your heart fast enough. Like, Edward said he was turned because of his, like, hand or whatever, and it was, like, excruciating and horrible, and that's part of the reason that he didn't let Bella get turned when she was bitten in this book, was because he knew it was going to be just, like, so painful for much longer, and he just couldn't let it happen.
Right. What makes me wonder is, like, does their venom ever kill humans? Like, could they inject enough venom where it kills them?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or does it always turn them? Like, I know they could drink enough blood that the human would die, but, sure. Like...
Yeah, I don't know. It grossed me out how many times it said that Edward's mouth filled with venom.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh man, you know what's funny? I read, after Twilight, so many vampire books. So many.
Really?
too many. And there was this one, and I cannot remember what it was called, but it was like a, not satire, but it was kind of like making fun of the trope, right? And vampires are sort of made the same way, you know, you bite them and leave some sort of venom or something, but sometimes you make them accidentally, because rather than being a vampire making you beautiful, vampires choose to only turn beautiful people. And sometimes
that's
they
so selective
do,
like, you have to be at least a 9 out of 10.
Exactly, right?
To be a vampire.
You can only be cute. However, sometimes they do what they call a flub, where they basically, like, backwash while they're drinking and accidentally make, like, a normal person a vampire. And, like, that part of the book has stuck with me forever. And I really need to find, like, what this book was, because I remember it being so funny.
Oh, my God. I haven't read that many vampire books. Like, all that come to mind are, like, Salem's Lot by Stephen King.
Oh, yeah. No,
and I read this this indie author's book. Mm-hmm. It was called Nocturnal Blood. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me a lot of... Well, it didn't remind me that much of Twilight, but it was set in, like, Alaska. Mm-hmm. So it had the, like, cloudy sky, like, snow. Very much the same vibes as Twilight.
Sure.
But it was very, like, Bonnie and Clyde. Like, her and her best friend were on the run. And it was actually a pretty fun book. Mm-hmm. There was a sequel, but I never got around to it.
Interesting. I also read,
I never really got into vampire books too much.
I had a good, like, you know, had a good little run with them. And then, oh my gosh, every dystopian series you can think of, I have read. Like, it's ridiculous.
I think I stopped after Divergent.
Oof. I mean, Divergent, Hunger Games, The Selection, Chemical Gardens.
Oh, like, I did read Red Queen.
Red Queen, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
let me tell you, though, I prefer YA back then to what it is now.
Yeah.
Because right now, it's just, like, a lot of contemporary. Like, it's a lot of romance and, like, cute books. And I'm, like... Like, it does have the fantasy, but it's very much, like, complex magic systems. And, like...
Right.
Basically, YA authors trying to write adult fantasy books.
Uh-huh.
And I'm, like, no, no, no. You gotta make it smaller scope so that my brain can understand it. Because I can't read adult fantasy because I get too confused.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to have a family tree. Okay? Mm-hmm. Like.
Yes. I literally, one of the more recent books that I was trying to read, I think it's called Deadly Education. I think I actually snapped you about it. The cover is beautiful. The magic system is very complicated. And I am finding it very difficult to understand. And I'm like, am I dumb? I don't know what's happening.
See, that is, you know, okay. So whenever I started reading Six of Crows, like the biggest comment I got was that people were like, you're not going to understand the world building or the magic system. It's too complex. You got to read the first trilogy first. And then I read, like, the first couple of chapters, and I'm like, this is the easiest thing to remember.
Right. It's really not hard. It is not hard. I mean, that's really not even magic system. Like,
it's just, like, magical people.
You can do it or that's you can't.
That's literally it.
Period. Yeah. And then, like, you're better at some kinds than others. Like, it's pretty standard.
Right. I think people were just, like, saying, you know, the different type of Grisha have different names. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what they thought I would be confused about. But, like...
Right, because they're, compared like, Russian.
Compared to what, like, what was that?
I said, yeah, because the names are, like, Russian-esque. I don't know if they're, Russian or what they are. But, I mean, the names are hard to remember, but that doesn't mean you don't know. And they use different names for them all the time, so it's, like, not that hard.
Right.
You know,
but they made it out to be, what, like, you're explaining with Deadly Education.
Right.
Whereas it was, like, super, super simple.
Yeah, no, it's easy. I was going to say, you know what I have never understood, and Six of Crows reminds me of this every time, why when people go on a big, like, mixed company magical journey, does no one ever bring a healer? Like, why would you not bring somebody who can magically heal people? That makes no sense.
Because most wounds, like... At least in fantasy, you can heal from.
Right.
Like, you can get stabbed in the middle of the chest, and they're just like, okay, just go see a nurse.
Right.
You'll be fine.
Just go see a nurse. You'll be fine. Except for when you go on the quest, and nobody brings a magical nurse, and you're screwed.
Right. I think Six of Crows, they have those, right?
They do have them in the world, but then they don't bring them on their Six of Crows quest. And then, I guess, no spoilers, become in need of one.
Right. I heard the new book is, like, horrible.
The, like...
Like, the sequel to King of Scars.
Mm-hmm. I have not read that series at all.
Yeah. I've just heard really bad things.
Yeah. But... I wasn't, like... I don't know. I was interested for a second. And then I was kind of like, you know what? Actually, I don't really care very much about that character. So I don't think I'm going to read it. I am anxiously awaiting the sequel to Ninth House, which I liked a lot. Right.
You did? Okay.
I think
I may pick that up soon. Mm-hmm. Maybe once the sequel comes out, because honestly, like, I have really bad memories. So, like, if I read a book a year before its sequel comes out, I'm going to be like, okay, I have to reread it.
Sure. Yeah, I've been wanting to reread Ninth House just because, I mean, I remember what happened, but it was good. I really liked it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to pick it up. I got burned with Crooked Kingdom, and so I'm like, I don't trust you yet, Leigh Bardugo, but she did help write, I'm pretty sure, like, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure she helped write the Shadow and Bone series for Netflix, and that is very good, so maybe she's onto something, but I also heard with Ninth House, there's gonna be, like, 7 books.
Really?
Yeah, I heard it's gonna be, like, really long.
I had not heard that.
These books are like 500 pages long.
Like, honestly, if she keeps... And see, this is the thing, is that they never keep the same quality, ever. Like, there's never a series that finishes as strong as it starts.
Shadow Hunter.
I strongly disagree. That's another day, though.
Let me tell... Okay, so The Mortal Instruments has, like, a special place in my heart, always. Sure. And the last 3 books in The Mortal Instruments are, like... not good compared to the first 3.
Mm-hmm.
But the new series, I think her writing has gotten a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And so the new series are just, like, naturally better.
Sure.
Like, The Dark Artifices, I would say, is, like, my favorite trilogy out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think the quality got better. But like you were saying, with Leigh Bardugo, I think the more she writes in the Grishaverse, probably the more the quality is going down.
Right.
Since a lot of people aren't really liking the new one that just came out.
Yeah, yeah. That's just, it's like too, it's too expanded. It's not working. Right. Ninth House is like completely different. Like nothing to do. Nothing to do with the Grishaverse. And it's so unique and interesting and just like, I don't know. I don't want to say fun. It's not very fun, but it's very like cool and like spooky. And like, I was a little afraid to read it because I was like, I actually read Shadow and Bone after I read Six of Crows, I'm pretty sure. And I didn't like Shadow and Bone very much. And I was just like, ugh. I was nervous. And then I read Ninth House and I just loved it. And I really didn't even like the main character. Like, not that she was badly written. I just didn't relate to her very much. But I just loved the other characters so much and the world. And I mean, it's set at Yale. Like, it's set in our world. But it also has sort of like a secret society world in it. It's just, it's really fun. Not fun. It's really good. Really, it was a good, interesting read.
Well, and you know, something that I, like, remember from Six of Crows and Crooked Kingdom is that Leigh Bardugo's writing is, like, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do trust her to write an adult book.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with, like, Sarah J. Maas, like, she came out with with the Crescent City book. And I'm like, I don't know if you can write adult yet.
Right.
Like, because I just... I don't know. She can do what she wants because she's like super rich, but like
right, she very much has Stephanie Meyer vibes to me, where she just takes her writing so seriously, and it's just like, man, you think you're doing something that you are not doing, like you are not getting there.
Catch us next week reading a Sarah J. Maas book.
No, but we already decided, so not this time.
Not this time.
So did you have any other? Did you have any other Twilight points?
I mean, I'm sure we'll reread the first book at least eventually. Just because we have to, you know? We can't do this podcast and not reread it.
Sure. I will save my, like, annoying Christian allegory and, like, heteronormativity for the Twilight reread.
Wait, did you see with Midnight Sun, a lot of people are, like, really mad that they only got one extra scene of, like, Edward and Bella? Like, the meadow scene?
Uh-huh.
And, like, I think it was, like, in the middle of the book almost.
Uh-huh.
But it was, like, I don't know, a lot of people, like, they wanted a lot more of Edward and Bella together, and I'm like, do you not understand, like, what a retelling is?
Right. Like, did it happen? I know, I felt like... It felt very, like, one-to-one to me, but, like, I feel like there was no material to pull from. Like, they stared at each other.
Well, my favorite scenes were when the Cullens were all together.
Right,
and Bella wasn't there, because I'm like, these are, like, fresh, like, new scenes.
Uh-huh, and they were, like, acting like semi-functional people.
Right.
Right. Whereas, like, you know, they just stare at each other at school for a while, and then they get super serious super fast, and shit goes down, and, like, there's not a lot of time to, like, build in extra stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I have not paid attention to, like, the atmosphere around the book coming out. I just knew that it was coming out, and I was like,
it sold it was like a million copies in the first week.
Oh my god.
Like, I'm, it sold sure a lot. Like, I remember, like, Stephanie Meyer doesn't have social media whatsoever, because if she did, you know, she'd get crucified.
Sure.
But I think she put out a statement that she was, like, shocked by how many copies it sold, and that it's kind of making her want to release, like, two more books.
Oh, God.
In the universe.
Oh, no. Well,
that's
we'll
what I'm
just
saying.
Have
in
to
5 years,
happens.
I'm sure we will have another book.
I know. I'm not even sure that it's going to wait 5 years, if I'm being honest. She seems like she's just been sitting in a cave writing Twilight stuff, and she's just going to, like, start doling it out.
I don't know, but she already had, like, a lot of Midnight Sun already done, and then it leaked.
Right, right, right. And she threw a temper tantrum and was like, no, I'm not releasing it anymore.
I never read that. Because I was like, I'm not reading it from, like, my laptop. Mm-mm. Like, this is, like, 200 pages.
No. She included, like, one chapter in the last book, I think. And I remember reading that, but I couldn't even tell you what that chapter was. Like, I don't
Was it remember. From Midnight Sun?
I think it was. I think that's what happened. It was, like, she was like, oh, here's a little snippet. Like, this is going to be coming. And then people got really excited about it and, like, you know, stole it. Oh, my God.
I could not imagine when she released Life After Death, she was probably just like, okay, new Twilight book coming, and everyone's like, Midnight Sun, and then mm-hmm. she's like, no, gender bent.
Oh, like, so, like,
what is the point of that?
I thought it was because so many people said that it was sort of sexist that Bella was such a damsel, and she was like trying to prove that it wasn't that way, and I was like,
See, I hate that. Like, I don't know. You can be masculine, you can be feminine. It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like it goes the same with, like, dominant and submissive. You know, you can be either. Mm-hmm. And, like, people just look too much into it. Especially for YA fantasy.
Right.
Like, I mean, this is the written thing you're complaining about. Like,
right. It was written in 2005. And also, again, as I mentioned just a second ago, I'm not going to really go into it. But there's so much, like, allegory and, like, there's a lot, right. There's a lot to unpack besides Bella just being a helpless woman. Like,
well, right.
of all the axes to grind. I think, yeah, I don't think I had any other talking points either. Man, I don't know.
There's only so much we can say about Twilight.
Right. We did it. We read it. So, yes, what are we reading next?
So, we are reading Kate in Waiting by Becky Arbuthnot. I think that's what we decided on.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, okay.
I went around
We both
it.
Really like Becky Arbuthnot, so naturally, hopefully it's good.
Yes, I'm very excited. I actually have no idea what it's about, so I'm just going to, like, dive right in.
All that I know is it's about a girl named Kate.
Sure.
And, and she has a gay best friend.
Okay.
And something happens, and I couldn't tell you what that something is.
Fair enough.
Because, like, I haven't started it.
Sure.
But I know the dynamic of the two characters, but that's about it. But okay. It is Becky Arbuthnot's first, like, individual novel, like, since Leah on the Offbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything else she's released since then has been, like, co-written.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's gonna be interesting.
It'll be interesting, yes. Of course, I have read Simon and the Homo Sapien Agenda and Leah on the Offbeat, and I love them both, and they're very near and dear to my heart, both of them. I follow her on Instagram, so I knew that it was, like, coming out, but I just have...
Did you see The Upside of Unrequited is becoming a movie?
I think I did see that, yeah. I haven't read that one either, because I'm the worst. I've been in, like, such a slump. Like,
it's definitely my least favorite by her.
Is it?
Like, including the co-written novels, mm-hmm. even the novella, Love Creekwood. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, like, I do think, okay, no one take this, like, horribly, okay.
Right.
But I do think books should be diverse.
Sure.
But Becky Arbuthnot went out of her way to just make her characters, like, so diverse that it was almost annoying in The Upside of Unrequited.
Uh-huh.
It was a lot. It was really a lot. And it's almost like that's all that there was to their character.
Uh-huh.
So I was just like, all that I know about you is that you're like...
Abby's cousins? Is that the one?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's how it's connected. But, like, it's not connected.
Right. It's...
Well, and what's funny is literally, like, it is the most diverse novel you will ever read. And it follows a straight woman.
Oh, that makes sense.
So all that you know about the side characters is just, like, their sexuality, their race, like, uh-huh. that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that they are. But it's just annoying.
Sure.
Because I know Becky Arbuthnot, you know, after... Well, okay, and she said she wrote The Upside of Unrequited before writing Simon Versus.
Okay.
But Simon Versus got published first.
Interesting.
And it's very, very clear. Like, it's very obvious.
So I wonder if that connection was made after? Or that's odd. That's weird.
I'm sure she added it in.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the whole Abby thing. Because I think Abby makes one appearance and it's at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So
very interesting. Yeah, that one just didn't like call out to me. I guess I don't know. I just didn't. I never picked it up. And I mean, I haven't read like Love Creek. What I've even watched Love Victor.
Love
like
Creek
I'm just
is so Love Creek World is so good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's good for like the if you really like the gang.
Sure.
In the first two books, Love Victor was good too. It took me two watches though because I watched like the first couple episodes and then I'm never on Hulu. So I just forgot it existed. Right. And then, like, a year later, I was like, oh my god, I started this, but never finished it. So. Right.
I just, man, I, like, never have any time. I'm always at work. And now, if I'm at home and not at work, I'm trying to read. So, you know.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Well, hopefully this one is a little bit faster because the text is huge because it's a YA book.
Yes.
Like, Midnight Sun's a YA book, but I will say that text is, like, almost smaller than like a lot of adult books. I was like kind of overwhelmed by how many words were on each page. I was so like, many. These margins, what are they?
it was dense. It was like both dense and also full of nothing. Like it was right. it was such a weird experience.
It was like I'm reading so much but taking in so little.
Yeah. Yes. Oh man. Okay.
But this one should read faster. It's like 300 pages, like,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's all I have for Midnight Sun and various other connections that I've made. So, Midnight hopefully Sun. You had fun hanging out with us and talking about Midnight Sun.
Yes.
And hopefully we will have more constructive things to say about the next book that we read.
Right. Sure we will.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to Literally Candlebed.
Yes, this is-